The word of God given to us today is Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. Please turn to page 402 of the New Testament. I will now read Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. It's been 3 months since I saw you last. It is truly an honor for me to be back here, standing at the podium once again to give a sermon, and I'm very thankful for that. Since Pastor Lee is unable to give sermons on Sundays due to his health, it seemed only right for me to be at the church and to preach in his stead as a senior pastor. So I decided to come back in the middle of my sabbatical. One thing that I would like to ask for your understanding in is that on June 14th, August 3rd, and August 10th, I'll be abroad. So for those 3 Sundays, Pastor Yoon Sun Jae will be giving the sermon. So please pray for Pastor Lee's health and also for me too. Laodicea is a city about 72 kilometers to the southeast of Philadelphia, and it was about 160 kilometers east of Ephesus. The city was founded in 250 BC by Antiochus II of the Seleucid Empire, and it was named after the emperor's wife, Laodicea. Laodicea became a Roman colony in 133 BC, and that was when the city began to thrive. Along with Ephesus, it was an assize town, a town where periodic criminal courts were held. The local Roman officials visited the city when the most serious cases were being heard, and those cases were big spectacles for the people. And on top of that, citizens of assize towns received Roman citizenship after residing there for a certain period of time. So Laodicea gradually became an influential city. And as such, Laodicea was the center of finance, textiles, and medical science in Asia Minor. Laodicea was the center of finance, and it was the bank of Asia Minor. Cicero, a Roman politician and philosopher, visited Asia Minor in 51 BC, and he's said to have cashed his letter of credit at Laodicea. Laodicea was the richest city in Asia Minor at the time. In the year 17 AD, there was a huge earthquake in the Asia Minor, and along with Sardis and Philadelphia, over 10 cities were devastated, and Laodicea was not an exception. And also in 60 AD, another huge earthquake destroyed the city of Laodicea. The Roman government offered to provide money for the restoration project as well as necessary items and also to reduce taxes, but Laodicea refused such support and was able to get back onto its feet by its own efforts. Also, Laodicea was the center of the textile industry. Cotton clothes that were produced in the city were sent to Ephesus and then were exported to Athens, Corinth, and many other cities. Romans wore clothes called tunic. These are simple upper garments without sleeves that will fall down to your knees, and people wore these as undergarments or as outer garments. Wool from Laodicea were dark purple in color, and tunics made from that were very expensive, and that created a lot of wealth for Laodicea. Those tunics were called the trimeta, and they became so famously identified with Laodicea that the city was sometimes referred to as Trimetaria, meaning the land of the trimeta. It's just like how Chungmuro in Junggu, Seoul, is not just the name of a street, but it symbolizes the Korean film industry. And how the Wall Street is not just the name of a street in Manhattan, New York, but represents the center of the world's financial market. Laodicea was also the center of medical science. In the vicinity of Laodicea, there was a temple of Menkaure, the god of medicine, and a renowned medical school as well. Physicians from Laodicea were so famous that they even appeared on Laodicean coins. The most famous and successful medicine from Laodicea were ear ointment and eye salve. And the eye salve was known for its effective cure that they were exported to different countries. Another thing that we need to be aware of about Laodicea is the fact that there were a lot of Jews living there. There were Jews living in most cities in Asia Minor, but there were particularly a lot of Jews living in Laodicea. In 62 BC, a local official from Laodicea found out that Jews were sending a huge amount of tribute money to Jerusalem for the support of their temples. And so he banned sending money outside the city. And the amount that was banned was about 15,000 drachmas. But the tribute money for the Jews was 2 drachmas each. This shows that, not including women and children who did not pay the tribute money, about 7,500 Jews were living in Laodicea. And also about 10 kilometers from Laodicea was a city called Hierapolis. Many Jews were living there too, and there was an archive where the Jews stored their legal documents. So, among all the Jewish diaspora, the one in Laodicea was the most influential and the wealthiest. So the Lord spoke to the people of Laodicea who practiced their faith in such political, economic, and social background. Verse 14 of today's text says, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation." It describes the sender of this message, Jesus, in three different ways: the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the ruler of God's creation. This implies that the people of Laodicean church did not have a correct understanding of who Jesus was. Jesus referred to himself as the Amen. The most important meaning of Amen is true or truth. Isaiah chapter 65 verse 16 says, "Whoever invokes the blessing in the land will do so by the one true God. Whoever takes an oath in the land will swear by the one true God. For the past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes." Twice, God is called the true God. In my Bible, right before the word true, there is the number one in superscript. And when you look at the footnotes, it says, Amen. It means that the word for true is recorded as Amen in the Hebrew Bible. So, this verse 16 can be read as, "Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the Amen. Whoever takes an oath in the land will swear by the Amen. And for the past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes." And I think it's more vivid to call him that. In the Gospel of John, Jesus often said, "Very truly, I tell you." He says it 25 times exactly. In John chapter 12, verse 24, it says, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." So very truly is Amen. And in plain English, it means unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. This is the truth. This is the Amen. Jesus Christ was always the true Lord and the Lord of the truth. If the people of the Laodicean church knew that, they would have walked the path of the truth and stood on the side of the truth. But instead, they walked the path of comfort and the secular world and stood on the side of prophets. Jesus called himself the faithful and true witness. We know that faithful means the same thing as trustworthy. Also, we looked at alethenos, which means trustworthy, in detail when I talked about this church in Philadelphia. This word also means real, which is the opposite of fake. God also said in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Trustworthy and true is the same as faithful and true. Trustworthiness and being true are the two qualities that Christians must take to heart. That is believing in the Lord and taking after Him. The world likes profitable results more than the process of being faithful and true. There is a Korean proverb that says, no matter how you get there, as long as you get to the South Gate in Seoul, you're set. This means that no matter what kind of method you use, you are set as long as you get the results you want. You can take a bus from here in Hapjeong to the South Gate. You can take a cab or the subway. You can drive there yourself or even ride a bike there. If you can't do any of that, you can walk there. The important thing here, though, is following the road no matter how you get there. That is being faithful. And this can be applied to the path of our lives. What is more important than getting to the goal of our lives called the South Gate is the fact that the way we get there should not involve illegal means. It needs to be completely legal. And instead of using off-track methods, we need to walk on the right path. Only then does reaching our goal become more significant. There are many TV shows these days that claim to be real, like the reality TV shows. There's the Law of the Jungle, where people try to survive for a few days in remote, isolated areas. And there's The Heart is Beating, which is a show about celebrities who get to experience the life of firefighters responding to emergency situations. And there are also We Got Married and With You, which are reality TV shows about pairs of celebrities and what it would be like if they were married. But even if all these shows seem real, they are not real. They are only imitating the reality. The lives of the celebrities we see on these TV shows are not the same as the lives of real-life natives, firefighters, and married couples. The celebrities only need to act like they're living such lives for a few hours or days at most in front of the camera. But for the people who actually live such lives, that is their life. TV shows are brief and they create instantaneous pleasure, but lives are long and at times boring. The same can be said for faith. Faith is not brief, nor does it create instantaneous pleasure all the time. Faith is living your entire life with the Lord by your side. So along the way, you take after the Lord, who is true and forever real. But the people of the Laodicean church did not wear the white gowns of faithfulness and truth. They did not hesitate to put on gowns that have been soiled by their greed to achieve their goals. Jesus also referred to himself as the ruler of God's creation. The ruler here means the base, the origin, and the beginning. And there is a verse in the Bible that begins with, in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Both the book of Genesis and the Gospel of John begin with the phrase, in the beginning. But the meaning of this phrase is different. The beginning in Genesis refers to the beginning when God made something from nothing. From this beginning, the universe was born and history began. But the beginning in the Gospel of John is the beginning of the eternity which existed even before the creation. When God was there, Jesus Christ was there with God as the Word. The ruler of creation, or the beginning of creation in today's text, is not the same as the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, but John chapter 1 verse 1. In other words, this does not mean that Jesus is the best among God's creation, but it means that Jesus is the Creator who created the universe with God the Father. The people of the Laodicean church did not realize that everything they are enjoying had come from the Lord, who is the ruler and the beginning of creation. The church of Laodicea is the last of the seven churches discussed in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Yet the letter Jesus sends to this last church is serious and shocking compared to the letters he sent to the previous six churches. The church in Laodicea is the only church among the seven churches that did not receive any positive comments. The church in Ephesus was chastised for having forsaken the love they had at first, but they were lauded for having persevered and endured hardships for Jesus. It was a church that did not tolerate wicked people and had the ability to test and find who claim to be apostles but are not. The church in Smyrna received praise that even though the people that are afflicted and poor, they are rich. The Lord even promised them that if they stay faithful even to the point of death, they will receive life as their victor's crown. The church in Pergamum was rebuked for holding to the teaching of Balaam and Nicolaitans, but were commended on the fact that they did not renounce their faith in the Lord even in the days of Antipas, the Lord's faithful witness who was put to death in Pergamum. The church in Thyatira was chastised for tolerating Jezebel, a woman who called herself a prophet, and being misled into sexual immorality and eating of food sacrificed to idols. But it was a church that was doing more with love, faith, service, and perseverance than it did at first. The church in Sardis was reproached for having a reputation of being alive, but being dead in reality. But it was also commended for those few people who have not soiled their clothes, who walks with the Lord dressed in white. Along with this church in Smyrna, the church in Philadelphia was not rebuked and only received praise from the Lord, that despite their little strength, they have kept the Lord's word and have not denied his name. Yet, to the church in Laodicea, the Lord did not say anything positive. In the Laodicean church, there were no false apostles who led the people astray, and there was no one who claimed to be apostles or prophets. There wasn't anyone who followed the teachings of Balaam or the Nicolaitans, and there was no one who tolerated Jezebel, who practiced sexual immorality and ate the food that had been sacrificed to idols. Yet the Lord did not utter a single word of praise to them. The church in Laodicea was wealthier than any other churches in than any other churches in Asia Minor. Just like the people of Laodicea, The people of the church in Laodicea probably accumulated their wealth from textile and medical businesses, and it might have seemed as if they didn't need anything. And they might have sat through worship services wearing dark purple tunics that Christians in other regions couldn't afford. But the Lord says no to them and says that they are actually wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. But why is it that the more we think about the Church of Laodicea, the more it reminds me of the Korean churches? Korea was one of the world's poorest nations after the Second World War and the Korean War. The whole country was a wreck from the wars, and there were no underground resources, nor did we have any technology. There was no sign of potential for any development in this land. And so we received a lot of help and support from the international society. And now Korea has become a donor country. Likewise, Korean Protestantism is one of the most successful cases in the history of Christian missions. Korea has the largest proportion of Protestants in Asia. The number of Protestant churches in Korea was about 5,000 in 1960, but now it's more than 10 times that. The world's largest church is in Korea, and 5 out of 10 of the world's largest churches are also in Korea. We also come in second place after the U.S. in terms of the number of missionaries we dispatch. Yet looking at the churches in Korea nowadays, it feels as if Jesus is saying, "You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." Korean churches in the 1950s, 60s, and the 70s were like the Church of Philadelphia. These were churches with the micros, or the small power, churches that only relied on God because we had nothing else to lean on. So people went to church every day, day and night, and prayed in tears, even when there wasn't any worship service or prayer meeting. They prayed kneeling and bowing down in chapels for their diseases to be cured because they had no money to go to the hospital. And they prayed in tears to be able to go to middle school or high school, even if it were a night school. They also prayed to be able to break free from the wearisome poverty and be able to have 3 meals a day. And people made vows numerous times to live, yearning only for the Lord Jesus Christ and the eternal land of God. As Korea became wealthier, Korean churches became wealthier as well. The Lord has warned us that we cannot serve both God and wealth at the same time. But we insisted on believing that we could. And then at some point, God began to fade away from our lives, drifting far. And instead, wealth has taken over God's place. The fundamental reason why Korean churches are being criticized so much is because we put wealth before God. Each and every single one of us is a church. if Jesus, who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation, tells each of us churches that I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Would you be able to say, not me? We need to think back and reflect upon our deeds. If we can learn a lesson from the failure of the Church of Laodicea, our clothes will become whiter. Our eyes that seek the Lord will become brighter. And our faith will become richer because of the Lord as we live on. Then this letter to the Church of Laodicea will serve as a lesson which Jesus had documented in order to mend our faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to reflect upon our lives in faith through the mirror of the Church of Laodicea. The Church of Laodicea became wealthier as financial, medical, and textile businesses grew along with the city itself. However, they have lost the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation, the Lord. That is why it was considered the most prosperous church in the Asia Minor, but was in fact like a spiritually bankrupt person who does not realize that he is wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Father God, we have become so much wealthier than 30 or 40 years ago. But we cannot deny that we are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Still, there are too many times when we make our lives busy to accumulate more wealth. And this is why the Church of Laodicea is like a portrait of ourselves. The Korean Church, the union of every one of us, has become a wreck. Please forgive our mistakes. Let us not forget that the wealth or extravagance of the world, the secular joy and happiness, are nothing to compare with the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation, Jesus. And help the Korean churches in which we stand to be the venue to start restoration of our faith. We pray that the Church of Laodicea does not become our self-portrait, but allow us to learn a lesson from its failure. Let the Church of Laodicea be a lesson to us in our last breath to endlessly rely on Jesus, our true teacher of eternity. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.